Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
It's Football Friday on the Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and former All-American Cam Cleland.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
Football Friday with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two on this Football Friday, getting underway. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. Joel Klatt will join us, 7:30. Fox Sports College Football Analyst. Weekend Would You Rather at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, plus more of your football questions and answers at 8:15. A lot of people texting in about, you know, P1RJ. We were talking about Penei Sewell a little bit last segment and kind of how dominant he's been. It says, you know, casual football fans wouldn't typically notice the O-line, but Sewell is bringing attention to the position. He's amazing to watch. He does kind of jump off the screen when you watch him, and it is rare that you get kind of the national pundits will take the screenshots and they'll pop them up there and break down how dominant he is. And it's not just like guys like Jeff Schwartz, but you look at like the draft analyst being like, dude, this guy's a sophomore. He's incredible. And usually an O-lineman doesn't really do that. On many, if any, teams that you get a guy that gets as much love and breakdown as Penei Sewell does, and he's only 19.
Well, I think we don't have to. The recognition's there. It's there now. There's no hiding anymore. He's out. He's considered the best lineman in the country. So it's deserving. It's not a surprise. It's like, oh, this kid's a man. No, he's good. He deserves it, and he's put it on paper.
Oof. All right, 55305. Better You Today, text line. Got a busy hour to get to, so let's get to it. 705.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Portland Trailblazers got trounced in Denver last night, making it close at various points, but Denver held the lead for the final 40 minutes and 20 seconds in a 114-99 victory.
And there's that.
Man, they're not good.
Well, they're injured. They have no bench. They're decimated.
The Blazers bench went a combined 4-15 from the field. Yeah. Anthony Simons scoring all four of those field goals. He went 4-9. The rest of the bench went 0-6. Blazers are now 1-8 and have been outscored by 88 points in 9 games against top 5 teams in the East and West.
They haven't beat a team that's 500 or better, have they?
Well, they are 1-8 in those games.
Oh, I didn't know you were specific. They're
1-8 against
top 5 teams.
Okay. Teams that are top 5 in the East and the West.
Gotcha.
So they're not very good right now against good teams. Hassan Whiteside went for 33-11, had good. 4 blocks. There's that. You're as cold as ice. Stanford offensive lineman Devery Hamilton has entered the transfer portal, which usually isn't news that a guy who's eligible for a grad transfer enters the portal. But how about this little nugget that's been popping up? He becomes the 11th Stanford player to enter the portal this month. What's going on with David Shaw and Stanford?
I don't know.
11?
11.
11
players.
I guess
the reports are there's going to be no staff changes at all. There were links that David Shaw was going to take an NFL job. Maybe he is. No idea.
It's a bizarre thing that's happened there. Like how
it's
quickly
hard enough to get depth that program.
Yeah, how quickly it's all just coming apart. And I believe 3 or 4 of them are offensive linemen. So it's not good. And the position that used to be the strength It was a massive weakness at Stanford this year because injuries, and now you have those guys transferring. Stanford's, man, they got to start looking up because, boy, it could be trouble down in Palo Alto. We briefly discussed this earlier, but Major League Baseball has taken marijuana off of its banned substance list.
Yeah.
They will no longer test for marijuana in their drug testing policy, but they will test for opioids, synthetic THC, and cocaine now in a new agreement with the players.
Good.
Just to make sure that they're not crushing their bodies even more than before. It will be interesting to see how you get into the testing program because it was kind of a vaguely worded statement where they said that, you know, they're not going to be testing for the cocaine and opioids unless you get into the drug program. But then how do you get into the drug program? Well, is it because of
maybe
an arrest?
Maybe everybody has a baseline test, or maybe there's something that
you
they're
like
going to have.
You do like one preseason test?
Well, everybody knows. Yeah. Street drugs are only tested one time. They're considered street drugs in the NFL. I'm assuming that's what they do. Once you're in the program, then you have to have randoms.
Randos. Baltimore Ravens absolutely crushed the New York Jets last night, 42-21. The big news is, though, Lamar Jackson, he is now the single season leader in rushing yards for a quarterback. He needed about 20 to pass Michael Vick. He got 86 yards on the ground last night.
So here you go. Tom Brady has rushed for 1,035 yards in his career.
20 years.
Lamar Jackson did his 1,103. Is that kind of a funny stat? Sure. You
know, in 14 games.
In 20 years, 14 games, he's beat him. 14
Whoa.
Years. 20 years. That's interesting. Did you see the giant raven that flew over the field last night?
Mo, do they train it?
When I mean giant, I mean like a dinosaur raven.
What? No.
Yeah.
What do you
go on Baltimore Ravens at their verified the Baltimore Ravens and look what they did, what's called the mixed reality feature, where he had the giant raven flying around the stadium.
Mixed reality?
Yeah, they debuted the mixed reality feature, the game day fan experience.
What if like you have a fear of birds?
It's an Alfred Hitchcock nightmare.
Oh.
If you haven't seen this, the shadow flies over the fans. It's crazy.
Gross. That's gross.
No, it's not gross. It's a giant bird. It's terrifying.
Birds
it's the size
and
of
crows
an airplane.
Gross. Yeah. All right, I'm going to go check that out. And then the number one story in the sports world is yesterday the Home Depot Awards were held in college football. Joe Burrow taking home Player of the Year honors. He is in all likelihood a shoo-in to win the Heisman Trophy presentation, which is tomorrow night in New York City. Hamakar Rashid, the defensive or the linebacker for Oregon State, was named a second team All-American by the Walter Camp All-American list. And Penei Sewell, the Outland Trophy winner for 2019, 19-year-old true sophomore, given the award for the best interior line in college football, offensively or defensively. Some nice honors being hit. You know, he was also, by the way, a first team All-American on the Walter Camp.
Yep.
So, nice little awards for two local guys.
Yeah.
At the Home Depot Awards yesterday. That is what is hot and cool. All right, coming up next, Larry Scott is in New York City. And he's speaking, folks. And it's not music to everybody's ears. Dustin Cam on the Fan. As soon as you are able. We briefly discussed yesterday that there was a 8-team playoff format circulating around New York City as all of the Power 5 athletic directors and commissioners are in New York City as part of the, winter kind of meetings that they do and Heisman Trophy ceremonies that happen at this year. They have big wigs all go and meet up. Well, Larry Scott was talking with the Sports Business Journal at a forum, and he had some statements that I just sit there in. As a fan of Pac-12 football, as a person living out here watching the conference miss out on 4 of 6 opportunities for the playoff, this was infuriating for him for me to hear him say. He was asked about whether or not he should or the playoff should expand. He said, quote, I completely get that it would release the pressure of being one of the that's been on the outside looking in most of the first 6 years to say that automatically we've got our champion in, but we also have agreements that run through 2026, the championship game that I think will be very challenging for us to agree on how we're going to amend and change that. He went on to say that in his 10 years that he's been there, things don't change unless they absolutely have to. That hearing that, just being kind of like, well, yeah, it's tough to be on the outside looking in, but you know, things don't change unless they absolutely have to, and we've got an agreement through 2026. What are you going to do? That to me is infuriating to hear.
What that sounds like is sounds like lawyer talk to me. Is what it sounds like.
Especially when you hear him say that it's been harmful for the brand, for their positioning. And he said, quote, everything we've got, it's been harmful for, right? Mm-hmm. Not making the playoffs. He said, first and foremost, we've got to be better. And we're engaged in, is there a better mousetrap going forward? What is he talking, like, we've talked about this. If you want to get into the four-game playoff, you got to beat the SEC, right? You've got to beat the big boys in those head-to-heads.
All that matters anymore. There's nothing else that matters.
And that is undeniable. You have to do it.
Nothing else.
But what did Bob Delaney do last year when the Big Ten was on the outside looking in?
Well, he has way. Come on, man.
But he may have way more power. But he actually made a stink, and he's like just residing to the fact that there's nothing you can do. Why just sit back and allow it to happen? Like, that's the infuriating part.
I know.
As a fan of the Pac-12, is that you're just like, oh, well, 2026, what are you going to happen?
When
the Big Ten was left out last year, Delaney was saying, we need to expand the playoff. ADs like Barry Alvarez in the Big Ten, Gene Smith, were saying, hey, we've got to expand the playoff. And when the Pac-12 misses out the fourth time in 6 years of the playoff, it's just kind of like, yeah, we're good. We got an agreement.
We all have that friend or family member that we're waiting around for them to change because, oh, we know that they got to get better. And you see it right in front of everybody, yet that person doesn't change. You know that you don't. Larry Scott's not going to be any different. He never has been. So I'd say, I mean, I've succumbed to this is what it is. And it's not an is what it is. The only thing that I can sit here and complain about is that the Pac-12 needs to beat an SEC team or a Big Ten team. They're going to get their chance. Didn't do it this year. Oh, well, cry me a river. You're playing in a Rose Bowl. That's where this conference is. But to ask Larry Scott to give us something more than he's ever given and stick his nose out and actually fight for something, he's never done that. And that's just sitting there. That's maddening. You're going to drive yourself mad. You're going to get upset for no reason.
But
because he's never going to be any different than a political poster that stands in front and gives you minutia talk. Do you remember when it was released about how he bragged about his own salary increase to his... to the entire employees? That, remember we got that video and made fun of that? We made fun of that 2 years ago when he released his, hey, we've signed a new contract, I've got a bump, and my contract got updated, we should all be excited. Like, hey, thank gosh. There's not going to be a change as long as the current leadership is in power.
Well, and that's the thing, is that if people don't get upset by hearing things like the committee's gotten a little luck, when Oregon beats Utah and they're out because, I don't know, the Pac-12 had a team suffer a loss on the week where SEC teams are playing a bye week because they only play 8 conference games and Oregon loses to Arizona State. You know, that when you say, committee has gotten a little luck there, that to me is a problem. And unless people are upset, Larry Scott won't move from his post. And that is going to be the big change, is that get somebody in who will care. Well, get somebody in who will matter. And
that comes from chancellors. It comes from school presidents. And it also comes from when the money starts to dry up. That's the only way to affect this conference.
Isn't it already drying up, though, when you're looking around and you're watching every other conference get more revenues when you have 3 SEC teams and 3 Big Ten teams in New Year's 6 or college football playoff bowls?
We're all stating the same thing. We know this is happening, but we're not seeing a change. We're seeing an uptick in revenue for what he gets. We're seeing high-rise facilities in San Francisco. We're seeing all the things that would equate to winning. But the conference is not going to get, it's not going to get any better until new leadership gets in there. We can chant it from the rooftops. We're getting one guy out of here. We're getting Ed Ray out of Oregon State. So he's one of the proponents of keeping Larry in place. So maybe that changes. Okay, we're going to need more and more youthful, exuberant people that want change. Change is a good thing. Change is a good thing, especially when you're last.
Right now, the Pac-12 is dead last. Larry Scott is nowhere near being the guy that is fighting for the conference in the right ways. There are some things that he did say, though, that I sat there and I said, all right, you know, I can appreciate that he's actually calling this out and saying forward, but you got to put your foot down a little bit harder, because he said, you know, one thing that he'd like to see is more uniform scheduling, right? He said he wants to see more consistency among the conferences and how they schedule if the playoff format is going to change. On that, I too go, why does it matter if the format is going to change for the playoff? Shouldn't you want that if the format is the current way? Because having 8 conference games versus 9 is completely different. What the SEC and the ACC will continue to do is sit there and say, well, we play a Power 5 out of conference. Yeah. Well, that's your 9th Power 5 game.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Big 12, the Big 10, and the Pac-12, they're all playing 10 Power 5 teams.
Do you know I said this 4 years ago, and I got just crapped on by the text line, the Better You and fans, and people said, we should never. I'm so prideful. We play the extra game. Look how much harder our conference is and tough. Oh, how the tunes can change, and how it's not. It's about, well, we need to measure up. I've always said that there needs to be uniform in college football, and there won't be. The Pac-12 is not giving up a 9th game. Let's just put that to bed. As long as this group is in power, that's not going to happen. What can happen and what needs to happen, what eventually does happen, is that you play 2 average games outside. Because it's been proven that game versus Auburn had no bearing on whether Oregon makes the college football playoff. If they play Portland State, they're in the college football playoff. Washington did it in 2016. They had a week out of conference. They had 1 loss in the conference to USC. They won, and they went to the college football playoff. Stop proving me that we need to play. And then if you do play them, yeah, I get it. Oregon's going to play Michigan next year. I'm sorry, Ohio State. And Michigan's going to play Washington. You're going to get a Big Ten. And then I saw that Oregon State signed a home-and-home with Ole Miss. Yeah. And that's down the road, fine. But if you want to get through here, don't schedule them. It doesn't matter.
Utah did that, and they didn't make it.
Doesn't matter. They didn't make it because they lost 2 in conference. 2 in the conference.
Yeah, and that is...
That's within the conference. They lost to Oregon in a championship game. That's conference. Yep. Conference championship game. They lost to USC in the conference. If they beat UF, all they have to do is beat Oregon, they're probably in the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. They got to fight for it. Stop telling me, and this is all the things. Let's play the fun game of let's try to prove it and earn it. I want to prove it and earn it in the Pac-12. But right now, you're not good enough to beat the SEC over and over. You're not.
Yeah.
And you certainly are not. And you're not going to be in the future.
And getting in and getting, like, Utah would get probably boat raced by LSU, right? But if you have that, that's better because you get 2 teams in the playoff, and every other school benefits from that, from having a New Year's 6 and a playoff team. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. Here's in talking about the scheduling thing, that is also something Larry Scott said that was infuriating. He said, I think people assume that our athletic directors and football coaches are fixated on the playoff more than they are. So when it comes to schedule, they're focused on what do student athletes want? What's going to attract them to my school? What does my fan base need and require? How does where I play and who I play affect the student recruitment and alumni engagement? No, being fixated. You know what helps all of those things? Going to the playoff. Being fixated on going to the playoff should be an important thing.
That's somebody that's not connected and not logically thinking. That's somebody still trying to sell is that if there's 4 best teams in the country, your goal is to be one of the 4 best at the end of the year to get a chance. That's everybody's goal when they step in. That's everybody's coach. Our chances to make the college football playoff. We're in a Power 5. Let's go get it this year. Nobody wakes up and goes, let's see what the students like. It's just dumb, man.
You know, there is something a little bit to that, though, in that maybe this is a conversation we have with Joel Klatt, because Troy Dye, linebacker for Oregon, he actually responded to Joel Klatt's tweet this past week, where Joel Klatt said, if you ask him if they could do it all over again, would the Ducks want to play Auburn week 1? And Troy Dye said he'd want to play Auburn again.
Well, of course he would. I mean, he's a player. Of course he would. They want
the big boys.
Of course he does. And no doubt. But I, you know what, every day, I mean, you want to play the big boys, that's fine. That's fine. Of course, a player's not going to say, nope, we don't want to do that. It's not a player's job. to do that. That's the scheduling and supposedly the smart people. Not that those players are smart. They are, but they're young.
But they also want to go to the playoff, too, and that's why they go to a school, right?
If you would have told me, if you would have told Troy, hey, Troy, by the way, if you don't play Auburn, and I'm going to tell you, if you go back in time and now you're in the college football playoff and you're Pac-12 champions and you get a chance to face off versus LSU, what do you want to pick? Now, that's a different question for Troy Dye.
Let's talk with Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst. He doesn't have a game this week because there's no game for him to call. We'll talk to Klatt coming up next. Dustin Cam on the Fan. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
It's time for Fox's top college football analyst.
Klatt with a play action. Going to go long, and he's got a man there.
The inside story on college football without the SEC homerism.
I'm going to get it. Like a bull in a china shop.
This is Fridays with Klatt, part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Can you find out if Dalton Ferguson was named after Dalton from Roadhouse?
I'm not going to do that.
Thanks, Joel.
Sorry.
Appreciate you.
Brought to you on the Fan by 808, the Titan of Hawaiian restaurants.
All right, as we do every Friday at this time, it's time to bring on Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst. Good morning, Joel. How are you, man?
I'm great.
What do you do when you don't have a game to call on the weekends? What is life with Joel Klatt like right now?
Oh, that's so funny that you asked that right now. This is embarrassing.
No, it's not.
I had
you're on the toilet?
No, it's not. You're in the jar. Yeah, cup of coffee.
No, I wish. No, I'm looking at I'm looking at charts for the semifinal right
now. Misses football.
Hey, the semifinal. What bowl game are you calling this year? Are you calling the semifinals?
No.
No, those are on
ESPN. That's why it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
I'm calling the Holiday Bowl.
Oh, the Holiday Bowl!
I just love
good.
It. Okay, get off my back. I just love it. Okay,
and that's why we have you on. That's why we love having you on, is because you're all in on football. All right, we were talking about something last segment, and you tweeted out after the Pac-12 championship game. So, if you're Oregon football and you could go back and reschedule this season, would you play Auburn or play Wofford to open the season at home? And we were talking about how Troy Dye quote tweeted you, and he said Auburn. I'm going all in on Auburn. I think a lot of fans, though, they sit there and they go, hey, scheduled to get into the playoff. Do you think that's a problem in the Pac-12, especially, is scheduling to get into the playoff?
Well, I don't know if that's a Pac-12 problem in particular. I think that this is one of the biggest issues that we have in college football, to be honest with you, is just the inequities in scheduling. And I think that there's inequities in scheduling across conferences. I think that there's inequities in scheduling within conferences. Excuse me. I think we should do away with divisions, personally, because I think within conferences we have inequities that make it really difficult for some teams to compete for a conference crown versus others. For instance, if I were to say, you know, hey, we're going to do away with divisions and even out schedules across the entire conference, and then we're going to pit the top two seeds, if you will, or top two teams based on tiebreakers into the conference championship game, don't you think teams like Michigan, Penn State, LSU before this year, Auburn, Florida, don't you think those teams would jump at that chance?
Yeah.
Because I think that they would. You know, and because within their division, it's really hard, you know, to overtake the big dog, if you will, when maybe that big dog has a little easier schedule, or when in the opposite division, teams are winning those divisions with a far, far less difficult schedule than you play. I know that's the case in particular when it comes to Penn State and Michigan, and sometimes Michigan State, is that they feel like the burden of proof is on them versus teams like, let's say, Wisconsin or Northwestern, who have won that side of the division in the Big Ten. So I know that you asked more specifically about, you know, overarching scheduling, but I think that a quick way to fix scheduling in general would be do away with divisions. And then I wish we would get to the point where we were all playing the same schedule makeup. I know it's hard to schedule particular teams, right, and have matchups that are scheduled 4, 5, 6 years out that are going to be good. We're going to try, but we do that with name brands. And for me, I think that schedule makeup could be more important, making sure every team in the country plays, you know, let's call it 10 Power 5 opponents. I think that that could really help overall in terms of college football.
Yeah, Joel, after Larry Scott's comments, we talked about earlier in our show, we were mentioning about how, you know, you're going to leave out the Pac-12 yet again. I mean, of course, they didn't earn it, and that's kind of where it sits. You're looking at this conference, and you mentioned earlier in the season talking about how you feel that this is going to change. It's going to – you felt like your connection to the people that you knew and you spoke to, that this college football playoff is going to change. Larry Scott says, oh, well, sit back till 2026, but the conversations are in motion. How realistic do you think that this changes before 2026?
Way more realistic than he made it out to be. I think he's trying – he's – listen, these people that are in power right now, that it's hard for them – to come out and set a date because contractually they've got relationships for that playoff already set, whether it's broadcast wise, you know, advertisers, so on and so forth. So those people can't say publicly like, oh yeah, this thing is changing, because they're contractually obligated to a certain term. That doesn't mean that it can't grow. There's language in there that suggests that it can. And I think that it will. I think that time frame that he said is way too short. I would expect that we would have an 18 playoff by the time the 2023 season arrives.
That is in 4 years. So I'm set, or actually it's three seasons from now. The 2023 season would arrive in three seasons. I am excited for that.
Four seasons. Math is hard.
Math is hard.
It's 2019, but 20.
Yeah. Four. That's okay.
We just finished the 2019 season, though.
Yeah, but we still have three seasons to go. Okay. So.
Yeah, I know. So math is hard. It's too early, Joel. Don't do this to me. I'm a communications
just
major.
Saying,
okay.
I'm just saying it would be like it wouldn't grow until the fourth season.
Okay.
So
there we go. All right, that's why I went to third grade 8 times. Joel Klatt is our guest. He's a Fox Sports college football analyst. You can hear him on the call of the Holiday Bowl. You said you're breaking out charts for this year's college football playoff. Joe Burrow, he kind of came out of nowhere, 201 Heisman odds at the beginning of the year. Seems like the odds-on favorite. How impressive is he as a college quarterback, and does he have the chops to be that number one overall pick in the NFL?
Yeah, I think that he is and has played himself into that position, if that's what that team wants to do. Remember now, you know, we always assume like, well, this guy's the best player, so he's going to get taken, or he's the best quarterback, so he's going to get taken. You know, we'll see what that team decides to do. But as far as quarterbacks go, I think he's played himself with the Tua injury, with Herbert's play this year. Maybe it was good, but there were still some questions about Herbert on his film. Oregon fans are not going to want to hear that, but there's questions about whether he can get to 2 and 3 in a progression. He tends to at times show a little bit of flinch when his first throw is not there. And so because of that, Burrow's pocket awareness, Burrow's ability to manipulate the pocket, Burrow's ability to throw the ball on time and on target has been uncanny. He's running a system right now with LSU that is basically an NFL system, so there's not going to be the learning curve that some of these players have coming from their college systems into the NFL. I'll be really surprised if Joe Burrow is not the first quarterback taken. What an ascension he's had with Joe Brady as that passing game coordinator. And listen, Joe has been phenomenal. I'll be shocked if Joe Burrow's not the Heisman Trophy winner, and you know what? Rightly so. He's had the best year out there, and he's also done something at LSU that we've just never seen. He's done something in the SEC that we've just never seen. So he's had a remarkable year, and I think he's certainly played himself into the Heisman Trophy, and I would be, again, very surprised if he's not the first quarterback taken in the next year's NFL draft.
Well, someone that's played the quarterback position, talking a little bit about what Lamar Jackson's done at the NFL level. You saw him in college. Everybody knew. I don't know if anybody knew it would take it by storm like this. Do you think watching college football quarterback play now, is that when you're a young athlete or anybody, does it open up the system or the position for more athletes doing this more than when Michael Vick did it, when we were all watching it? Is this going to change the way college football recruits the kind of athlete and watching it? Or is it still going to be, hey, if the guy can stand in the pocket and throw and make those progression throws, is that going to be what we see?
Well, I don't think anything has changed. I think that for a long time, most programs have been looking for a player that can extend with his feet and do both. You know, I think that's the holy grail, is a guy that can do both. Cam, what's interesting to me is that my son's running around.
I love the background. Yeah, the
2-year-old. By the way, he's butt naked and he's just rolling around and he just looks at me and he's like, "Hey, Dad," and I'm like, "Yeah, what's up? Hey, buddy, can you say hey? What's up, Portland? Say what's up, Portland." You can say it? Oh, now you're shy.
Now you're shy.
My 2-year-old does that all the time.
Now you're shy. Oh gosh, that's funny. Okay, so to me, Cam, the quarterback position. See, I think football evolves from the bottom up, not the top down. Okay, so for years now, we've been seeing at the youth levels the best player not be the running back; he's actually the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, because the ball, he touches the ball on every single play. Then that started filtering into the high school levels. And what people saw was that equated, you know, less talented teams to more talented teams. And you could have one guy that would have a basketball-like effect on your team, you know, where one great player can lift your whole team up. So what you've seen is that an athletic quarterback can minimize the effect of a bad offensive line. It can minimize the effect of not having great players everywhere else, and you can still move the ball, create first downs, and create touchdowns. So what you saw is that lower-level colleges that didn't have the ability to recruit great players would put their best player at the quarterback position. Then all of a sudden that seeped into higher levels of football, and then the best teams started doing that. And then what you had is a supply and demand issue. So now the NFL is sitting there as a league, and you're trying to draft quarterbacks. And if in the past you would have like 9 pocket players and 1 mobile quarterback, now you have 9 mobile quarterbacks and 1 pocket quarterback. Mm-hmm. So to me, we're always talking about like, well, is this guy changing the style of this or that? I think supply changes the style. I think that supply changes the way that these NFL teams have to innovate and have to adapt to what they're being offered from the college ranks. So again, if you look at it not from the top down, but from the bottom up, I believe that football has been evolving for years. You could say even decades towards the better athlete being at quarterback. And now what that is doing is that has affected the supply and demand chain to the point where that's all that is being supplied to the NFL. So everyone says, like, hey, this or that guy changed the style of the NFL. I just don't think that that's correct. To me, talent is what ultimately provides success, not your style. For instance, if we're talking about Lamar Jackson, I think it minimizes Lamar and it's short-sighted and unfair to Lamar to say that his style is what makes him successful.
Right.
I think Lamar's talent is what makes him successful.
Yeah, no question.
Right? Like talent is what ultimately wins at any level. I hope that answered you. I think that was a bit of a soapbox, but think of top, you know, not top down, but rather bottom up.
Joel Klatt, college football analyst, here I'm on the Holiday Bowl, which you'll have USC. Yeah.
USC
Trojans.
And Iowa. There we go. I was really hoping. Well, never mind. I don't want to speculate on that. Just think, all right, we all know we all thought, like, hey, this is who USC should go hire.
Right.
And then I was imagining, like, oh, what if USC and Penn State played in the Holiday Bowl? And I was like, that could have been interesting.
That would have been great.
Didn't happen.
Nope, didn't happen. All right, well, hopefully we'll talk to you next week. Go put some clothes on that kid, huh?
Yeah, I think he got a – let me see. Hold on. Yeah, he just put on his little pull-up diaper, and he put it on backwards.
Attaboy.
He's very proud.
Attaboy. Yeah.
Proud father.
All right, Joel, have a good one, man.
Thanks, Joel.
I mean, what cares does he have? He's like, screw it, I'm good.
I
want
to go back. I'll put diapers on every
he's,
day.
He's living the life right now.
Yeah.
All right, man, have a good one.
Later, fellas.
Joel Klatt, Fox Sports College football analyst. How about that, 2023?
I believe him 100%.
He said by the start of the 2023 season.
Too much money
season,
involved. Too much more.
Would be that we would have a college football playoff in, 4 years from now, but the start of 3 more football seasons, because we got to play 20, 21, 22, and then boom, it would be here for 2023. I am excited for that. If that is the case, expansion, mm-hmm. I don't care if it's 6 or 8. Give me more.
I think it's going to be 8. It's got to be 8.
You think it's going to be?
I think that's the magic number.
I think they're going to want to wait again because they're
no,
dumb.
I don't think so.
Why really did they go to 8 the first time?
Well, because they had to test it out and see how it would follow and see if you could get that excitement in. I think it's 8. I think it's 8 is that number. It's 5 and 3
well,
at large. And you can throw in an occasional team that gets in independent. You just don't know.
Right now, it sounds like they're guaranteeing a group of 5 is the proposal out there. All right. Thanks again to Joel Klatt and his child for a little entertainment on the side there. Coming up next, we go off the rails. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
What in God's name are we doing? What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
A fungal spore.
Growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right, 55305, Dustin Cam in the morning. That is the Better You Today text line. Great stuff, as always, from Joel Klatt.
As always, as advertised, the Klattster.
Yeah, he had a butt-naked kid. He had college football playoff news.
He's got three little rugrats running around.
And then he told us Joe Burrow, greater than Justin Herbert, and explained why. So if you missed that interview, go check it out. Les Schwab Tires Podcast at 1080thefan.com.
You know the little nugget I heard last night that kind of blew my mind? You know that Joe Burrow is older than Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
That's why. So Lamar Jackson is probably going to win the NFL MVP, and he's younger than the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
That,
crazy.
Like the only person that could have done that is like a BYU player. You know, that historically, that's the only way that would usually happen, but now we just got young guys all over the NFL. Well,
Wasn't Gardner Minshew 24 last year? Was he 23?
He didn't win the Heisman.
I know, but I'm talking about it could happen. It's not like he's grad transfer guy. He's been there 5 years.
Yeah, but rarely do they win the Heisman, though.
Good point.
You know, it's like, this is kind of rare, because if you're that good, you're not there very long. He gone. See ya. But we have old man Burrow going to be taking home the hardware. All right.
You know, briefly talking about what Anthony Gordon did at Washington State, does he get enough credit? Are we just, is
more
whatever,
numb.
It's just numb to, we're numb to those stats anymore, right?
Yeah.
If Justin Herbert would have done that, completely different. Heisman Trophy candidate. Top one or two.
Because if he did that, that'd be like, oh my God, what the heck happened? Because it's not a system that he runs.
So you buy into that we don't create that systems are what Mike Leach is. His system is just, it shouldn't be measured up against other football teams.
Well, except for unless you run that system too.
So USC would be the only other team we'd match it up to.
Well, yeah, you're going to start seeing more and more. Like North Texas has that too, where North Texas slings the ball around. That's where Graham Harrell came from and went over to USC from. As it starts getting more and more widespread, you're going to start seeing more quarterbacks put up those funny numbers. But we've become numb to Mike Leach.
Truthfully, quarterbacks very numb to it.
Because guys like Sonny Cumbie have done it. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, Graham Harrell, and, you know, who's the guy that he had in between those two? Put up ridiculous numbers and then just kind of into the distance. It's just like when
stats don't matter. Analytics are more valuable now in football than your statistic that will tell you that, okay, along the same lines that I throw for 600 yards a game or I throw 5 touchdowns, yet I lose football games. Yeah. There needs to be some sort of analytic that you use.
To what?
To decipher the difference between whether your yards or your box score is equating to championships. Those types of things. That's why I say that Anthony Gordon thing, what he did, is cool and special, but the shine is off of it because you're not
winning.
Middle
of the road team.
You're not winning.
Yeah, but it makes them competitive at a level that otherwise they wouldn't be. It's the same thing Hawaii. We went through this with Hawaii too. We became numb to Hawaii quarterbacks like Timmy Chang and Colt Brennan putting up ridiculous numbers.
And you just go, yeah, well, that's just kind of what they
that's
do.
Kind of what they do, throw it around the yard.
Yeah, you just, all right, well, that's what happens.
It's a great
there.
Point that Joel made about quarterback play is that is, if you're not trying to put the best athlete on the field, because you do grow, you don't grow that way from the top down. Like Lamar Jackson's not going to change anything. What he's going to do is just make it even more plausible. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we probably should put the best athlete out there.
I've called that the trickle up. You know, we mentioned that the trickle up from high school into the NFL, and it's finally getting traction in the NFL now. Yeah.
Can you imagine putting Julio Jones at quarterback?
No.
In high school, that's what you do. That's kind of what you do.
Yeah. He's where's number 8 for Baltimore?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do. If you're not doing that, if you're just going to be like, oh, we're going to put him at running back, oh, fine. No, you want the ball in his hands all the time.
Mm. Yeah.
True. And there's stubborn coaches that don't get it.
Back in my day, we're going to run that.
If you're still that dumb, Nick Saban finally went, all right, I've got to change this. I've got to have somebody with more mobility back there. Nick Saban wanted to change the rules of football because he was so stubborn with it. He said, I got to change it. And his offense has been explosive since.
Just ask, just over and over again. I get it. If you're stubborn and you aren't willing to change and adjust, you're going to get left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Just happens.
55305, better you today, text line. All right, it's always awkward, often offensive, exceedingly entertaining. It's time for our weekend. Would you rather next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.